Amen. All right, Lord, we just thank you so much for all these wonderful people. We praise you, Father, that we all are in here in one accord. We have nothing on our mind but Jesus. And Lord, we just praise you and we glorify you for the work you're doing in us, getting us ready for this bride anointing. And we and man child of anointing. And we just praise you, Father, that in the days ahead, we're going to be, we're already excited. Lord, we're excited in our spirit that this man child anointing is fixing to happen. And the bride will be anointed. We just praise you, Father, for leading us into this great, wonderful trial that you've got us fixing to come into, Lord. And we just praise you for it. Thank you, Lord, for making us all disciples of Jesus. And we just praise you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do tonight, because I just believe, Lord, there's going to be some great things happening tonight through the spirit realm. I thank you for your warrior angels round about everybody in here and those that are listening to protect them from any kind of witchcraft curses in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that those curses, you said the angels will take the curses and throw them back into the enemy's camp. And Father, we just believe that. And we thank you, Lord, that none of the curses will be striking any of the fellowship in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, for strengthening our minds up, because we all have the mind of Christ. We have Christ living in us, and if Christ is living in us, we ain't got nothing to worry about. We just listen and talk and have our times with him, and he'll tell us what to do. He'll show us what to do. He'll lead us into the things that you want us to do. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you for all the healings, deliverances, and the revelations you've given us out of your word, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that tonight it's going to be a special night, Lord. And I thank you for it. We thank you for this wonderful, wonderful child that you've given Theo and Lana, called Gabriel. And with a name like that, he can't lose. And I thank you, Father, for little Gabe. Thank you, Father, for protecting him also. Thank you for protecting him against the pharmakia. Lord, they tried every which way they could mess up, but you wouldn't let them. And I just praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you for getting them all home safe and sound and to someone that they could trust them. And we praise you, Father, for doing that for little Gabriel, in Jesus' name. Lord, protect all of us as we walk this walk that's coming up. Protect us in the days ahead when we go out. Our job is to give out the gospel, to fill up the silos for the 7 years of famine. And that we'd have food for everybody. Your food, Lord, is the kind that will make them grow. And Lord, I just thank you for doing that for all of us in Jesus' name. Be with us tonight, Lord. Let us speak as an oracle of you, Lord. Speak only the things that you'd have us to speak, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Carol.
Hi, can you guys hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. My friend and her husband are believers, born again with the Holy Spirit. They're ministering to a couple that comes from a small church that the whole church got COVID. It's a church that said no to the vaccine, and they're all sick and they're all under attack. Right now, this couple is being hospitalized. So my friend and her husband are ministering to them. And she just texted and just said, yes, please ask the group to pray for all of us to get a good night rest, because they've been going at it for a while. And however else the Holy Spirit leads you. My sense, though, is that this. I don't know more about the church, but I have a feeling since they said no to the vaccine that they are wanting to stand strong. So I sense that the power of the Holy Spirit through this group can really help them, and the discernment of however you all want to pray.
Okay. All right, you want to lead us off?
Yeah. Papa God, I thank you for my my sister Margot and her husband Sylvain and their lovely heart to jump right into the fire no matter what. And this couple, I think it's Denise, and I don't know what her husband's name is, but this couple that are ill right now, my heart right now is really to lift up this whole congregation, that your love and your power and your might surround them, your holy fire around each and every one of them, that you would bring conviction into their heart, whatever conviction they need to stand strong, whatever doors they need to close, whatever doors that you open, they open. And when you open a door, Lord, no one can shut it. Whatever door you ask to close, no one can open that door. So we plead the blood of Jesus over each and every one of them. And I pray for a deep rest for this couple tonight and for my friends, the couples that are ministering to them. I pray this in your son, mighty name Jesus, and I pray in his love right now and his compassion, and I call upon all of the angels that are serving Jesus right now to come and surround all of them and to surround all of us in our prayers tonight too. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I want to pray for them if that's all right. In the name of Jesus, right now, we break the power of Satan over this entire congregation. Lord, they were doing what you told them to do. They are under the Psalms 91 protection in the name of Jesus. I command this spirit of infirmity off of each and every one of them right now in Jesus' name. And I command all symptoms to leave their bodies in the name of Jesus. Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that they're going to glorify you because now they're free from this thing and they're going to understand and glorify you to the world that it was you that healed them, that's protecting them, that's keeping them from all harm from the enemy. Lord, it wouldn't surprise me if they weren't targeted. And I thank you, Father, that right now there is a wall of protection around about that entire congregation that the enemy cannot penetrate in Jesus' mighty name. And I thank you, Father, that they, everyone, are healed with no symptoms in Jesus' name. I command healing into that entire congregation right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you that to everyone that receives this that hears this will receive it in that congregation. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe it. Y'all believe it? Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. It is done in Jesus' mighty name. Whew, my. Is this a very large, such a small congregation, Carol?
I believe it is. I don't know more, but I think so. Okay. I think it's a small congregation.
Uh-huh. All right. That's a big one in God's eyes if they just stand on the word.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else want to pray before I go to Fia? Okay. Go ahead, Fia.
Hi, everyone. Dear brothers and sisters.
Whoa! Look out, bro. What? You know, come on, Gabe.
The enemy tried to destroy this precious two people here. I mean, it was amazing. This I can't tell you the whole story because this is, it would take too long.
That's okay.
We are so overwhelmed with everything that happened. Ooh. In the last 5, 6, 7 days now. It blows us away, you know, that this little
monkey. Awesome. And
Lana's doing great, and the prayers of the saints that were nonstop. I mean, there were so many of you that just warfared they were in constant battle. Our hands got tired. They held their hands up for us when we couldn't lift them anymore. And yeah, he's doing great. And the Lord sent us a good doctor to tie up all these loose ends that they think are out there, which we praise the Lord for everything, you know.
Praise God. We bless this baby, Gabe, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for blessing him yourself. We praise you. But you need to give that boy a haircut. Look at that. Good gracious. Look at him. He said, no way, Jose. No way, Jose. Oh, he is so sweet.
Yeah, he's got a lot of hair.
He does. That's awesome. What's your, how's your mother boys think about it? Is that,
they love
is that Max?
That's Max's.
Hey, Max's. Hey, buddy. What do you think about that little brother?
He just turned
Yeah.
He just turned 3 today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Maximus. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Max.
And Mary more and many more.
And many more. Yeah, absolutely. Well,
Lord bless you.
So much for sure. I got you on the big screen here.
Yeah, so thank you everybody for praying. It blows me away.
Thank you for showing us this wonderful baby. He's so cute.
Yeah.
I can tell right now he's gonna be spoiled by them other boys. Yeah. And mama too. And probably daddy too. Yeah. He's special.
The Lord gave him such peace. You ought to see all the wires sticking out of his head. The things they wrapped him in, the scans. I mean, just, and he went through everything just peacefully and content. I mean, just what a blessing. Just, we were surrounded by screaming babies. You know, a lot of them were being fed through tubes. You know, it's a newborn intensive care unit, and they brought a perfectly healthy baby into it, you know, for 3 nights. And it was brutal.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So thank you, Lord.
I can't imagine. Amen.
We're blown away. Thank you, Father.
That was a good experience, wasn't it?
Amen.
Of God's goodness and grace upon you. On earth.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. That boy will be up walking. Hell, you're going to have to bring him down here, Lana, and let him ride in the tractor. All right. Anybody else? I am so happy to see y'all back home. We were praying nonstop, seemed like. I know the women were praying with Lana all night long. Glory to God. Glory to God. All right, anybody else got a prayer request or a testimony? Beat that one. I know you would. Yeah, Will.
I've heard you guys. I'm just so thankful for Theo and Lana. It's wonderful that they are home safe. We are all people, everyone all over the world are very happy for them. It's so amazing having fellowship with people from all around the world. I overheard you guys praying for cars earlier. So if I have to tell you about my car trials, it will take the whole night. I just would like to also pray. I think we need 3 new vehicles. It would be so wonderful if the Lord could bless us with some new wheels. Lord, thank you. You tell us to be content. Be content with what you have, Lord. Just show me, you know, the trials that all of us, I'm sure the other body, the other members of this fellowship that's been having car problems, Lord, that if it's your will, that you'll please bless us with vehicles that will be a blessing and not a curse.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Will and all of us. Where'd he go? You got, oh, there he is. Amen. All right, Tim, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I got a prayer request and a praise report combined. After I saw you this afternoon, when I got home, we had a message from my wife's dad's wife that her dad, Debbie's dad, Mick, had taken a fall yesterday and broke his hip, wrist, and that he's going into surgery when we got the message. So we got a subsequent message a little bit ago that he's in recovery now. The surgery went well. But so I want to pray for him for healing, and I want to pray for the Lord to work in him because he has really no interest in spiritual things. A few years ago, Debbie sat down and tried to talk to him about the Lord. He goes, "That's not my thing." And it was really heartbreaking to hear that. He just had no interest. So the main thing, the first thing, I guess, is Father, we thank you for watching over Mick. We thank you for giving him speedy, complete recovery on this hip and wrist. Make it so well and so good that the doctors are amazed and that he knows that your hand is in there healing him. And that opens the door for him to have questions and to seek you, Lord, and know, hear your calling to him before it's too late. He's put you off his whole life, but he doesn't have much time left. And so I pray that you would use this to draw him in, to have him and his wife seek you, search out for you, and to see all the blessings that you have for him, and including salvation, the most important thing. Thank you for the surgery going well, and that the good report coming from the doctors is good, but most importantly, we thank you for calling Ed and saving him, So thank you very much, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. We break the power of Satan over him right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you for granting repentance to him and bringing him in, Father. We believe that. In Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for household salvation. And we can believe and we know that that's going to happen. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Would y'all believe with me? Can I get y'all to believe with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up my grandson, Blake. Lord, I ask and I pray that you would pull him into the kingdom wholeheartedly. He has no other choice but you. And I'm asking you to pull him in. The Satan is trying to take him out, has tried to take him out most of his life. And Lord, I just thank you for that. You have saved him 19 times from overdoses. And I thank you, Father, for doing that. I am so grateful that you didn't let him go, Lord. You're a God of love, you're a God of grace, and you're a God that answers prayer. And I ask and I pray, Father, that you drag him in, pull him in, push him in, ever what you have to do, Lord, for him to cry out to you, Father, and to surrender his whole heart to you. in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'll put him on the altar again. I'll leave him there. He's yours. And I thank you, Father, for doing, I know you're going to do a mighty work in him, like the dreams you've given us, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory to God, I'm leaving, Lord. Amen and amen. Yeah, George, go ahead, brother.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you have children and not grandchildren, and that you are Blake's father, and that just like Michael, when he was born again, got to see miracles and got to pray for people and see your mighty hand at work, that you are calling laborers in the harvest to come and disciple Blake right now and take him and let him see your mighty hand, see the methods of salvation, and allow him to lay his hands on the sick and they shall recover, that you're going to do mighty works with him, through him, in his, he as a witness, so that he will hunger and thirst for the kingdom and nothing but you, Jesus, that he is going to be hooked on you, Lord Jesus, and your kingdom, and he will seek first, he will crave and seek the kingdom and your righteousness for the rest of his days. And the harvest is great, and his reward is great. And I thank you, Lord, for making him the champion that you've called him to be. And I dismiss the plans of the enemy over his life. And I call confusion to their plans right now. And I speak to the strong man in his life. And I bind you in Jesus' name, and every underling devil, I command you to confusion to you, and premature punishment if you continue to act in this young man's life. So unless you want to be tormented ahead of your time, you leave him now and leave him alone. And Lord, I thank you for the harvest in his life. I thank you for the joy that'll never leave him, and that joy will be his strength in Jesus' name.
Praise you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, George. Thank you, Lord. Now praise you, Father, that Blake coming here. In Jesus' name. Go ahead, Will.
My sister had a friend who was married to someone. They were married for some time, and then the guy developed crystal meth addiction. And it became very bad. And my sister sent an email to UBM. Oh, that's, I think, 6 years ago. The guy, they nearly killed him. They stabbed him on the side of the road. Middleburg, our town, actually has had, I would say by faith, a bad drug addiction problem, with a lot of drug addicts in the town, being that the town's people are very friendly. So that will be funding for them easily. So they are attracted to the, so they put an ad in the paper asking everyone in the town to stop giving them, to stop giving them money, just rather give them food. But he nearly ended up dead by the side of the road, but that was his turning point. He's now married again. He's out of it, been out of it, I think, for 3 or 4 years now. So the Lord really answered that prayer so quickly. He's married again, and he's got, he got divorced from my sister's friend. They had two children together, but he's already got, he's got two children now again in his new marriage, and he's doing very well, actually. So I just want to praise the Lord. I haven't seen him or had any contact with him. I just heard from my sister. But it's just amazing that the Lord did take him out of it, and that he's continuing his life. I hope if I see him that he would be receptive to receive the UBM content for further. I don't know what spiritual material he is on currently, but he did leave the ministry that we all were at that point in time. So I don't know where or what church he's in, or if he's doing his own thing like most of if he's doing his own thing. I just want to thank the Lord. Lord, thank you for that you do restore drug addicts. You restore them, and you've got a purpose, Lord. You had a purpose in his life. It happened so quickly that he became addicted, and you took him out so quickly again and restored his life. Thank you for giving him back what he lost, and that you are so amazing. You restore what the cankerworm and the has stolen once you've done the restoration. Thank you for working in Black's life and doing something, Lord, and that you have got a great plan for him, and we can't wait to see what you have in store for him, and it's going to blow everyone's minds like you normally do that, Lord. You just do such fantastic things. My friend's father was diagnosed with cancer a while ago, I'd say a few years ago, actually, and I've been standing in faith for him. I know the Lord wanted to do a work. This week she gave me a very bad prayer. Well, I got a very bad report on Tuesday. He's been deteriorating, and I've been standing in faith for him. I wonder if there's not something within myself that is that's not right with the Lord. Maybe maybe I've not been praying hard enough. Maybe there's unforgiveness or something, and I haven't been doing my part. I'm not 100% sure. I just don't want him to die from my error, you know. She gave me a very bad report, which I just want to just stand against it now and not fail in my faith. I did suggest ivermectin to them just because, I don't know, maybe it was an unbelief. For being weak to the weak, you know, I guess. If you know something that can help, I'd rather just tell people, you know, not that that will be any great help, but I just felt to tell them to put him on ivermectin for being weak to the weak's sake. I just want to pray. Lord, I just thank you for not allowing, his name is Etienne, Uncle Etienne, to die. I thank you, Lord, that you will give me the strength to stand in faith for him. Thank you for that you care about friendships and household salvation and family bonds and friendship bonds, that that you save friends and you save loved ones and you save family members. Thank you for being such a miraculous God, and thank you for protecting so many of my family members against COVID. I just praise you, Lord, and I ask you for the strength to endure. Amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord, we just pray right along with you, believe right along with you, that all of this is going to be answered in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for household salvation. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yes, Marilyn.
Just talk to my neighbor, and her husband's parents. It sounds like they have COVID. COVID has really been running through our little town, and a lot of the people that have COVID are people that have been vaccinated. And but I don't believe that these two have. And I know that the wife is a believer. I have prayed with her before, but the husband is not. But I would like to pray for them. Father, I lift Syl and Judy up to the throne of grace. Father, I ask for mercy. I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon them. Loving Father, just the love of Christ to minister to their hearts. I know that Judy is a believer, but I also know it sounds like they're very sick. And Father, I'm just praying for an outpouring of your healing virtue upon them. Father, I pray that you preserve them unto the day of the fullness of salvation. Father, I pray for mercy and grace. None of us deserve it. But you, that is your nature, Father. That is your nature. So I command this, this sickness, whatever it is, I command it out of them and off of them in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, just trusting and believing that even now you're lifting them up. I know Ollie, my neighbor, will tell them that we have prayed for them, because I told her when I just saw her that we would be praying, and it's going to mean something to them that they know that they were lifted up to the throne of grace, and that for the sake of their salvation through faith in Jesus, which Judy has, and I believe by faith you're going to give Syl, that you saved them. Father, I just thank you and praise you, Lord, that what's impossible with man is possible with God. I thank you for hearing this petition and answering quickly, Father, and I believe in for a really good report, and I'll be back here sharing the good report here very quickly. And Father, I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Father, just to give them faith. It says, Father, that your word says you give us a measure of faith. And I pray that you will give them, that you will strengthen Judy in faith, and that you will give Syl a measure of faith. And Father, you know, they're both Native Americans. I break the power of all the false religion, generational curse of false religion, and speaking against and not caring for the white man's religion. And I break the power of all that witchcraft in the Father of the mighty name of Jesus. And let that that ministry, Father, of your Holy Spirit, draw them to you through the blood of Jesus. And I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We believe along with her that this couple is healed in Jesus' name. And all the symptoms go away from them. That spirit of infirmity has to go in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Julie.
Praise God. Amen. And I just like to add on to that, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for Judy and Syl and their lives, and that they, Lord, you see their hearts and you know where they're at. And I thank you, Lord, for the prayers of Marilyn and Barry and what they have been praying for their neighbors for since they've been up there, Lord. And I know you've heard every one of them. We also come against the spirits that would have been cursed over them, that they have this COVID or whatever infirmity they are saying that they have. We break those curses off of them, every word curse and every thought curse that have been diagnosed and spoken over them. We cast them down and break their power off of them in Jesus' name. And we rebuke and cast off of them all fear of sickness, fear of COVID, this fear mongering, control and manipulation. We cast it down. We break its power off of them as well. And Lord, I'm in agreement that you're working in their hearts to give them faith, to draw them to Jesus, that they would seek you, Lord, at this time in their lives, God, as you, by the power of your spirit and your love for mankind, Lord, that you would draw them to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Glory to God. All right, William, go ahead, brother.
I apologize if I've been talking too much.
That's fine.
You guys want to hear the line? you guys won't believe the lies the devil, this lie the devil is pulling. We had two dear family members that got COVID and they nearly died from it, but they pulled through. The Lord pulled them through. Thank you for household salvation there. My one other family member told us that when it's husband and wife, when the husbands, they rushed her through to Johannesburg or Gauteng's hospital, and he thought she was going to, he thought he was never going to see her again. That's how bad she was. But now you won't believe what their doctor is telling them. It's a good thing you had the flu shot, because if you didn't get that flu shot, you wouldn't have never pulled through COVID. And I'm like, what? If you would have never gotten COVID if you didn't take that silly flu shot, but you won't believe that. And I think thanks to that lie, they ended up getting the vaccine. So, but the Lord is sovereign over that. I just believe that this vaccine is going to be a lesson to the believers that took it, so that they will think again to take the mark of the beast. They will be very humbled. They'll get a little chastening. So by the time the mark of the beast comes around, they'll be more awake and alert to say no, because they had such a good chastening from this vaccine. So we'll leave the vaccine around. We'll leave it to get them very sick a bit, so they'll be very repentant not to take the vaccine again. And one of my other family members did get the vaccine, and I prayed to the Lord. And I wanted to know if people really are magnetic from it, you know. So I prayed to the Lord and asked him, Lord, if you want me to take a magnet and put it against his arm to see if he was magnetic, please send a magnet across my path. So I can just ask him, can I just do this experiment? Because I've been hearing that people say that you're magnetic after that you'd taken it. And then we ended up at my sister's place, and her son comes running with a super strong magnet out of the blue. And then I just didn't have the guts to go through with it. I left it. I wanted the Lord to take that. And it's actually a super strong one. It's not your average magnet. That thing is hectic. So, but I didn't have the guts to. I prayed to the Lord. I said, ask the Lord, Lord, if you want me to maybe it would have been a lesson to him. So maybe I was disobedient. I don't know.
Well, ain't no telling. If you'd stuck that thing up there, if I'd have pulled it a plumb out of his skin, you could have drug him all around if you wanted to. Oh, my. That's awesome. Go ahead.
No, I would have been.
Do what, William? Go ahead.
No, I would have been tempted to say, you know, you've just made yourself the property of Bill Gates, but I would have almost used a bad word there.
Yeah, you didn't want to say that. All right, go ahead, Isaac.
So, Will was saying about that whole magnet thing. Now, I guess I've been a little skeptical on that, all that stuff. And I don't know, maybe magnet, I don't know. It just seems, it doesn't make sense to me. You know, so I just take a grain of salt. I just, I hear it go on. I don't believe or disbelieve. It's just not important to me. Anyways, my buddy, and I kid you not, and I was dumbfounded when this happened. This is like a guy I grew up with. He's a manager in Newport, California, of a big Ford store. Anyways, he said his coworker got the vaccine and he took a video. This is a video he took and sent it to me. Cause he said, dude, she is magnetic. And I said, really? I said, send it to me. Cause I don't know about that. He said, I'll send it to you. I said, well, send it to me. And looked at it. And man, listen, this is firsthand experience. She put that magnet on her and it stuck. It literally stuck. Like, you know, that's around the both sides of it. So you know it wasn't like sticky, because here's the thing, she could put it like right here and fall. She could put it somewhere else and maybe fall, but she put it right here, you know, and it would just stick to her. And it, you know, I know this doesn't build anybody up, but I'm just saying it's just funny. Like, it, you know, I had to see it to actually believe that one. It's just amazing.
I actually saw a person on YouTube get that stuff cut out of his shoulder. He had a magnet. They had a magnet up there, and they found out where it was, and he'd make an incision. Somebody would make an incision, pull that thing out. I don't know. He had half a dozen or so already pulled out. Yeah, crazy stuff going on. Yeah, Malcolm, go ahead, brother.
I hope you can hear me, because I'm quite a ways from the. On our cordless phone here from the house. You probably already heard this, but some folks over in Europe, and probably people in the States have tried this too. You can take your phone and put it in Bluetooth mode. I mean, you can set it, go up to settings, and then you can watch. Apparently, the people that have gotten the shot are emitting, or actually transmitting on Bluetooth channels, a MAC address. MAC is M-A-C. I don't know what it stands for, but every device has a MAC address that's connected to a worker or whatever. So a router would have a MAC address. A server would, any computer would have a MAC address. Any laptop or cell phone or whatever. Headphones. Headphones would have a MAC address. But the address doesn't conform to the MAC address protocol, really. The regular MAC address protocol is the first six characters, I think, are the company identifier, and then the last six are specific to that device. So I don't know. I haven't tried it. I have a friend that does Bluetooth. He does kind of security stuff for companies. So I don't know if he's tried it or not. I told him about it. But anyway, something to try. They say when you go to a store, you can just start picking up people going by. Of course, you want to differentiate between their devices and themselves. And the address is a little different if it comes out of their body. Anyway, that's the first. I've never heard of that before, but that's pretty interesting.
When you say they pick them up, what are you talking about?
Your body's transmitting on a Bluetooth signal an address.
You need the fit.
Because of the, you know, I mean, I'm guessing what they've done when they designed these things was to reassemble a little transmitter using nanotechnology, using the graphene oxide or whatever they're using, actually assemble a little antenna and little transmitter. And sounds exciting, even if it's not true. It's fun.
Well, go ahead and get you a jab.
No,
I believe it's true, Malcolm. I've read about that that's one of the reasons they're giving them the jab. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. That they give them the jab is to put this stuff in them so they can find out where they are, who they are, what they've got in them.
That's wild. That my guess is that once you have an address, it's not going to change.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so write down your addresses, folks.
Yeah.
Write it down. Yeah. It's a MAC address, you know. It's
best
just
thing to
commonly
do.
Used in computer stuff.
Yeah, best thing to do is just pray over your communications equipment that they can't. It can't. Your address can't get out. You know, block it spiritually.
Yeah, I don't think he can get an one of those addresses unless he's actually gotten his shot. So, all right, I've got to go get the horse out. I'm going to have to get out of range here.
Okay, but we'll get the horse. You got a cart? Well, you can't get the horse without the cart. All right, go ahead.
I just ran out. I use a pipe, a 10-foot piece of pipe, and it's white PVC pipe. And I just raise it up in the air, and the horse comes charging in, nostrils flaring.
Awesome. That's cool.
It's pretty exciting for our dog.
Oh, okay.
All right, I'll see you.
All right, thanks, man. Go ahead, Isaac.
One last thing. I guess it's not really important. But he's saying MAC addresses, and I'll give you a little information on that. So we constantly, when we configure like communications, whether it be, you know, BFDs or it can be Ethernet cards. You probably used 232 back in. Yeah. So first thing we have to do is, like, I'll get something called BootP, which is software, which is boot protocol. And what happens is I can scan and pick up any MAC address. So that MAC address, I'll see a bunch of MAC addresses. Now, if I plug into a certain device, let's say it's a VFD, right? Let's just do that. If I plug into it and I see that MAC address, those VFDs typically have like something called DHCP, which is from the factory, it's a random IP address, right? So I can give it a static IP address where I can say, I take that MAC address, I click on it, I type in, let's say 10, you know, or say 196.168.0, whatever. I can give it whatever IP address I want. I say, this is your IP address, okay, based off the MAC address. And then I communicate with it. At that point, once I grab the MAC address, I give the IP address, I'm communicating with it constantly. So, you know, all this is kind of like, it's all crazy. But I mean, it's almost just making sense. Like, because everything, your phone, your computers, you know, your internet sites are all IP addresses, okay? And, you know, Wi-Fi, it's now at the point where it's just signals rather than, actual cable, plugged in the cable or Ethernet or, you know, whatever. So just explaining, that's kind of how that works. This is unbelievable stuff.
Yeah, if you've got a cell phone, you're being watched. I don't care if it's on or off, you're being watched. So you can put you a tinfoil hat on all you want to, but that thing is sitting there watching. Go ahead, Will.
No, I finally understand why our one friend's husband calls a tinfoil lady. I never understood why. But I've been asking the Lord for a year now, what exactly about the mark of the beast is so abominable? If you can just reveal that to me. And if I listen to tonight, you know, this is not even the mark of the beast. But you can see why it's so wrong to take the vaccine. You're putting yourself under someone else's control, which is not a Christian, and it's I can track you and I had on YouTube. I saw a random video one evening from a little girl. I had a dream about the tribulation, and she said the mark of the beast will also be mind control. And if I look at this already, you know, it's not, she wasn't too far off for me. It's possible, you know, it's possible since they've got so much information that they can, and programming that they are doing on the body now. I wouldn't rule that out.
Yep, they got control. Let me just say something here while we're doing it. I know that a lot of people have their eyes on Donald Trump as the savior of the world. What we need to do is keep our eyes on Jesus. Donald Trump is not going to keep us. He's not going to save us. In fact, he's a man. I know you got the big posters out there. I saw some today. He was dressed up like a killer man and will save the world, you know. No, only God can save the world. And I just bear this in mind. Donald Trump is fallible, just like every other human being. And I know that he has been talking for the jab. Bear that in mind, what the jab is. We just got through talking about what it is. So just beware of making an idol out of Trump. I know that we have in the past talked a lot about what he's done some great things, but he's done some stupid things too. And, but if we keep our eyes on the Lord, that's who our Savior is. That's who's going to save us, is the Lord. Amen. So I just want to throw that out there. What happens too many times, if you just read history, what happens? People idolize people. They go bad. I'm not saying Trump will. I'm just throwing it out there. He's not a Christian. Now, he claims to be. He look, the man wants votes. Just remember that. He wants votes, and he's like any other politician. And I'm not saying he's a politician. You know, but you got to understand, he's just a man. He seems to be like a good man right now, but he's made some major mistakes. One of them is the jab, promoting the jab. And that to me is a red flag. So I'm just saying. All right, anybody else? Okay. All right, Lord, we lift up Geneva. I want to pray for Geneva in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for putting peace in her heart, joy in her heart, because she knows you, Lord, and she looks to you for everything. And Father, I just praise you for delivered her from any kind of anxiety, discontentment, any kind of condemnation. You go in Jesus' name. And I command complete, Lord, I just ask you to fill her up with your Holy Spirit, that your Spirit will fill her up so much so that there's nothing left but you, Lord. Everything, Geneva's gone and Jesus is there. And we just praise you for it, Father. Ooh, my. Thank you, Father. Glory to God, glory to God. Thank you for filling her up with you, Lord. Peace, joy, and liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. My, man, I felt the Holy Spirit pretty good then, girl. You got a dose of good stuff, the greatest stuff. Amen. All right, well, you just a world talk to me, don't you, buddy? Hey, go for it.
I apologize.
No, you don't have to apologize. Go for it.
No, I apologize, but if it's, I just need some counsel. I don't know what you have got planned for tonight. I can do it another evening, but if it will be appropriate now, there's something that I need counsel for.
Go for it. We're all here.
I came to UBM via a sister of a friend of mine. She gave me a book, A Sovereign God, and I think The Power of the Tongue and his Power in Your Weakness. So she's been a great inspiration to me. She's... how shall I put it? She's been, I just pray that this involves some other members of the South African body. So hopefully I don't offend anyone. I just need to get clarity as to what I must do about the situation. And it's also good that it is recorded so the other members can listen to it that is not here. And if they feel like they want to respond, then it's fine. Then we know as to how to address the current problem. I've had great fellowship with her up till this point, and I'm still also very thankful, you know, what was with Paul reminded the one guy, I think it's Titus or something, that he must take back that slave that has now repented, since he owes him his salvation in a way, you know. So you owe sort of a debt, sort of not a debt, you are absolutely very respectful and thankful to the people that aided and prayed for you that you get saved. So let's just make it short. So the other day another sister came to me with a complaint about this specific sister. I'm going to name the complaint. The complaint, she told me that she's gone to the sister and she's spoken to her about it. She also got a dream that it's an abomination, I guess, or it's a very bad sin that she's involved with, and that she must stop doing that. It was very random. I didn't expect that the let's just call, if we can call it a complaint, to come forth. And I also just want to know if she did the right thing, if it was the right thing to now bring it under my attention, or was it in no offense to the sister that I'm speaking to about now, but she can also listen to the recording. I'm not sure if she did the right thing or she did the right thing. I had to sort of fight off unforgiveness for the last 2 months since that accusation was made. The accusation is she has a daughter which is an alcoholic and also a drug addict to a degree. She doesn't use any illegal drugs, but she likes narcotics. Legal drugs, and she mixes that with alcohol. The accusation against her is that she is funding. She funds the daughter. She's funding her, and her she keeps on sending money, and she's not allowed to fund the daughter, knowing that she can use the money for the alcohol and for the drugs. The question that I guess I have now in my mind is, like, I'm familiar with someone that used to be an addict, but now he's in a different space. He's in a faith space, you know. He believes that he's healed, and he's now encouraged to go into situations where he'd never normally go into because of fear. But now, since he's received the healing in faith, he now has to walk accordingly, you know. So if you don't fund that individual, you're acting in unbelief. So that's a different. So I'm wondering, is she funding her daughter in faith? Like, she's doing the right thing, you know? Yeah. Like I just need to get clarity on that, because I know, like, just to put it like that, I know that the addict that we are familiar with,
he is he's been told that now he's got to walk it out. He's got to like buy things and do things that he normally would have never done before out of fear of that addiction. And if you put any fear on him now, you are, and that was by UBM, that was by an UBM instruction that he should now go through in faith, because he's been living in fear for a long time. And not living, you know, that's like now if you hold back any finances from him, you're acting in unbelief, because he's been told to go ahead and believe that he's received it and that he shouldn't allow any fear or unbelief back in his life. I don't know if her daughter is in that same space where she is there, you know, there as a believer, where you've also got to act in accordance with your faith. So if she's not, then she's guilty of funding, I guess. I'm not sure. I just need prayer and counsel.
Okay.
To know.
Let me give it to you. I have experience in that, quite a bit of years of it. If you don't see any fruit in that child of getting away from drugs, don't fund it. Period. Don't fund it. That's what you're doing. Here's what I did, Will. I prayed that God would take care of my grandson. I put him on the altar. The Lord told me to stay out of it because I wouldn't do anything but enabling the drug addict. And he said, you get out of it, I'll fix it. But when we get in it and we give them money, all you're doing is enabling the drug addict itself. We can believe God with our faith that God's going to fix him, not me. It has to be God. That's the only true direction away from drug addiction, is through God. They can say, well, we've done this for years and years. Okay, some people get direction or get delivered from it by just going through what they call it when they go through the rehabs. Some, not very many, some. But I'm telling you right now, the best way to do it is to lay them on the altar of God and allow him to do it, and you back off and quit interfering in their financial life, because all you're doing when you do that is giving them money to go out there to kill themselves. And that's what they're doing. Now, we can have faith to believe that God's working in their life, not faith that I can give him money and God's going to keep him from doing the drug. No, he hadn't come to Jesus yet. You come to Jesus, then you wait and see what the fruit is. And the fruit is that he's running after the Lord, or she's running after the Lord. You're having faith that when you send money to first thing, you got fear in your mind, because you have fear that God can't take care of them. When you send money, I need some money for food, Papa. I need money for this. I need money to go over there. I need gas money to get to work. You know how it works. When I cut it off last year, y'all remember, I said, I'm going to put you on the altar, son. I'm not giving you another nickel until you show the fruit coming out of your life. And I haven't given him one nickel since then. And he's been free up until here recently. But I haven't given him anything. I still got him on the altar, just like we prayed tonight. I keep on praying. That's what is going to get him saved, is Jesus, not you. That's trying to put it in man's hands to save them. Can't do it. It has to be God. And the only way you can do it is just back off and let God do his work. And he'll take them to that place at some point in time. It's God's business, not mine. To that point, at some point in time, in his or her life, that they'll cry out to him and they'll be free. Just watch what I tell you. My grandson, Will, he's overdosed 19 times. And I don't know how many times, at least twice, God took him to hell and showed him around and showed him some things that I don't want to even repeat in here. And it still hasn't got the fear of God yet. It's going to take God to do it, not us. I hope that helps you, brother.
It does, Michael, and I knew you are going through a similar situation, so it is very helpful. So we also have now got to go back and respond, and I've got to respond to this situation. I just want to bring in another side. I get that side, but there's another side that I want to bring in. You've got another type of addict that cuts himself off from the world to protect himself from drugs. So he'll move out of a city to a farm. I've seen it. I've seen it so many times. They move out of a city. They put themselves totally in a jailhouse situation. Like there's no more temptations, but that's a fear. And the counsel was in that case that he's got to now go back into town in faith. He's got to go back to town in faith, knowing that he's healed. He can't be afraid of town anymore. He's got to go back into that situation because he's healed. He's got to now live out his faith. If I deny that person money, I'm now acting in unbelief, but that's someone in a different space. A manipulative addict is someone that would phone you and make all sorts of excuses to get finances, and then you'd fund that. So I think we must be careful knowing where the person, if it's a believer, that person can still fall back, but he's been told to now get a job, get money, because some of them is even afraid to get a job because they, when they get that pay, they will OD at the end of the month. They will, and that's a fear that they have got to know. No, you're healed now. You've been delivered from that demons. You've got to get that job again. You've got to move back into a town where you might be tempted because you are now free. That type of individual, if you deny them any sort of encouragement to go back, you will be acting in unbelief. So that's a different type of individual. I just want to know where Jenny is. Well, now I said her name, so so it came. Well, Lord is sovereign, so I just want to know where she is. If she's acting in a good faith or in a bad faith. I don't know if her daughter is in that. What space her daughter is in. So yeah, that's just the other, like if yeah, that's just the other side. That specific believing addict is now in a space where he needs motivation to fight in faith. He probably will not fall back, you know, but if you deny him, let's say, any motivation, any funding, any help, because he's now in a different faith space. I know from the emails that some of the counsel that David has sent back had told that individuals to, you must now do everything you would normally not do out of fear and go into situations that now, because you've received your healing, if you doubt, you'll still be stuck in that addiction. So it's a very interesting. I don't think a daughter is necessarily there. That's the problem. So I need to establish if she is actually aiding her in her.
Well, like I said before, I've got years of experience. I've got one grandson that died from an overdose. It was Blake's brother. And one of the reasons he overdosed is because I helped him, because he was here with me as a Christian and he was going to the fellowships. But he went to New Jersey, wherever it was up there, and fell back. I gave him $50 that night. So I'm telling you right now, I don't care what they tell you they are doing. You can't believe it until you see the fruit of it. You can buy them groceries. You can buy them whatever they need. Don't give them money. Until you see the fruit, until you see the fruit of their walk, they can go for 6 or 8 months, maybe a year, without doing any drugs, maybe 2 years. They have to be discipled during that period of time on what faith is and how to walk it out. And the only way they're going to get that is by getting in the Word. That's the strength of breaking that drug addiction, is getting in the Word. Go ahead, Will.
No, I just wanted to ask you, that's a manipulative side, you know. The manipulative side is, I need money for this and this and this. I just think I understand what you're saying there, and the fruit of that, it was not a good idea to give money that specific point of time. And if the Lord shows you not to give money there, it is fine. But there are repented addicts that that's now counseled UBM, and the instruction was to not be afraid anymore. They must go in, like they would be afraid of town, because they'll be afraid of falling back. And now they're instructed to go and put themselves in that situation.
Okay, because you're talking they about must the get addict rid of himself that fear. Now.
Yeah, but I'm talking about that specific space the addict is in. That person has now been instructed to go to town because he's been afraid of town, because if he goes to town, he will fall back. So now the instruction was, you've been healed, you better go back to town. So if I don't give him gas money to go back to town, I will be acting in unbelief and putting him back in that fear. That's a different space that addict is in, and you've got to act in accordance with the instruction that the Lord is, and even the Lord was very, very responsive to, now that person must walk it out, that person must stop being afraid. So and that person must buy and do everything he wouldn't have normally done. So that was that was a different type of situation. If I act anything against that person's faith, I'll be telling him, no, you're an addict, stay here. No, you will not make it there in town. You will fall back. I think we need to discern where that person is at. Otherwise, you can do harm to the faith, because that person is believing he's healed. And if you don't give that person money, you're saying, no, I don't believe you're healed. That person is coming with a pure heart, you know, for him that sinneth willfully.
I wouldn't give him money. I'd give him gas. I wouldn't give him money for groceries. I'd get him groceries.
Not specifically money. But the person was instructed to act as if he's 100% normal. He cannot doubt in his mind that he's not 100% healed. So if I give him money, I'm going to buy you food now. You're not acting that he's 100% healed. You're telling, I don't trust you with this money. So you've got to be so careful. So if she's doing that, that's all I need to know. Is she doing that healthy faith thing, or is she doing the unhealthy faith? But there are two different spaces a believer is in. If you act in unbelief, you're only saved by your faith. Nothing else is righteous. You know, the righteous are lived by faith. If that that was the instruction, Michael. It was strange. You now do everything 100% to the fullest in faith that you have received, that you've received that freedom from that addiction. So anything I do, even if it's just giving that person money, buying him food instead of giving him money, I am showing him that I don't believe he's 100% healed. So that will be wrong. I don't think that individual is in the same space as someone that will fall back. You know, it's so difficult. It's so difficult. But the email back from David was to now walk it out 100% as if you've received it. No holding back, no doubting. So, and now from my part, I cannot doubt that that person is not 100% freed from that addiction. So it's a different situation.
No, it's not. I'm going to tell you something. You're talking two different things here. You're talking apples and oranges here. You're talking about David ministering to the addict himself. That's different. You will want to speak faith into his life. I'm talking about the people who enabled him. That's what I'm talking about. You cannot enable one of them until you see the fruit of Christ in their life. And I'm just going to drop it there. I would say this to you. Before you give them anything, ask the Lord. Just pray and ask the Lord, am I to do this? He'll steer you right. A lot of times, family members' heart gets in the way, and the love for them gets in the way.
Yeah, I'm using this as example, just to find out if she's doing the right thing. You know, I would hate to, if she's standing in faith for her daughter and it's acting in faith. I'd hate to be the one to push her back and then have to repent afterwards, you know. So I just have to be so careful to know what to do.
Okay. Just ask the Lord. That's going to be my recommendation. Ask the Lord before I give him anything. The problem that I had was a back history of it. A history of falling back. I'm a Christian, falling back. I'm a Christian, of falling back. That's what I went through. And I kept wanting to believe them. And I kept praying for them. And they keep falling back until one of them ended up in the grave. I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to give them to the Lord and let the Lord do it. And when you let the Lord do it, he'll do a whole lot better job than I can. I don't care. You can throw money at them, but I would not throw money at them unless you ask the Lord. That's just what my experience. Okay, let's see. I don't know. Good gracious, got three of them up there, man. Well, that's my experience. I've had bad experience with drug addicts in my family, and of helping them out and praying for them, and I just never had any luck. I never had any. There was no fruit. And if you could see my point, when David was given the information to the addict, he's right. He's absolutely right. You walk by faith. But when you're talking about family members enabling them, that's a different story. In my opinion.
It was just a difficult thing because the family members must also now walk in faith with that individual. If they act in unbelief against that individual, they are making him afraid again that he will fall back. So it's a different situation, because if you now act in unbelief against him, you're showing him you don't believe what he should believe. So it's very difficult. I just want to pray. And it's also now been a difficult thing. Apparently, been accused. It's abominable for her to aid her daughter, and there was dreams. So I'm now in the middle of this whole situation. And I look up to Jenny because she's responsible for my salvation. She's had a part to play. I won't make it like solely responsible, the Lord's responsible, but she had a part to play. The Lord used her in my salvation, which I'm extremely thankful for. You know, to break out of mainstream church is a huge, huge advantage for any Christian. So I'm so thankful. I just, if I can quickly just pray. Lord, thank you for that we can bring things into the light. We praise you, Lord. We pray for Jenny that she will listen to you, Lord, and that I will get to the bottom of what you expect of me, that I will get the truth, Lord, and act accordingly. Lord, and I pray for this issue to be resolved. It's causing division in the rather small family of UBM here in South Africa. Lord, that you resolve it, and it's causing a lot of also family feuds there at their side. I pray for Paula and Dirk to also stand strong in the Lord and also make sure that I pray that, Lord, you help them to make the right decisions in this situation. And thank you for this recording. We all listen to it and respond to it accordingly. Thank you for the time that everyone has given me. I appreciate it. Amen.
Amen. Well, out of duty. Amen. Well, best thing to do is just pray and ask the Lord. He'll guide you in the right direction. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, I just had my training just like 2 days ago, 2 weeks ago, and everything for my new position. And I'm hoping that they'll train me again in 2 weeks. I don't know if they're going to train me or if I'm going to be on my own. So I'm just hoping for the best.
Okay, Lord, we'd like to thank you, Lord, for paying Nick for his work there. We praise you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord, for this brand new job he's got. He's going to love it. In the name of Jesus, amen. What do you think, Nick? You think you're going to like it?
Yeah, I like it so far.
All right.
I liked it when I started, actually. It was easy, so.
Well, wait a minute. It wasn't hard?
No.
Oh, man. You're going to skate through this one, huh? That's awesome. That's awesome. All right, buddy.
Thanks.
All right, Malcolm, go ahead.
Hey, thank you, Michael. I just want to say I'm sorry, Michael, for what you've been through with all that. But I'm hearing a lot of wisdom from what you're saying there. I've been overseas a lot. I mean, in different countries like Singapore, Nepal, India, and all kinds of countries. And there's a lot of, not so much in Singapore, but in a lot of countries, there's a lot of begging going on, and a lot of kind of an entitlement mentality. And some countries, USAID and different NGOs, that's a non-governmental organization, and there's a lot of kind of entitlement mentality. And I thought I might broaden the discussion out just a little bit. About a year ago, I spent a whole day driving to a memorial of a very good friend of mine who died. And I was late getting to the memorial, and the parking lot was just packed, so I had to hunt a while for the parking spot. Anyway, I finally got up to the front door of a church, and here is a guy who had parked his pickup right in the kind of the entrance area, the covered area. He had his pickup parked there, and he was standing there, and he was kind of yelling at me as I approached, and he said, I just lost my job, and he was going through this whole sob story, which may have been true, but my goodness, his pickup looked brand new, and you know, I was a little upset about the death of my friend, and I thought it was quite insensitive of him to stand there and be accosting everybody that came in there for this memorial with a story that none of us could vet if we didn't know him. I mean, we didn't know, you know, what his situation was. But, you know, a lot of us have decisions to make because we want, like Jesus said, give to those who ask. So, but for a lot of people that, you know, we've all run into this, they're asking for a reason, which is, I mean, you know, a lot of folks on the street are doing drugs. I mean, a lot of people are doing drugs. So need some discretion. You know, it's really sad about Nepal was the parents would actually maim their children so that they could beg. That's getting really sick. And I've seen a lot of that. It's a business. So anyway, I think we do need to be walking with the Lord. And I think about the beggar sitting by the gate of the temple who asked alms, and the disciples said they didn't have gold or silver, but they gave him what they had, which is a whole lot more than what he had even asked for, and enabled him to get all the other things he had asked for, anything he might have had in his heart. It's just totally cool. So anyway, I've just seen a lot of enabling, like you've been talking about, Michael. I've seen a lot of people hurt because they were enabled. So just a lot of wisdom there. I'm just back to you.
Okay, go ahead, Andrew.
You know, there are people who are saved, of course, and might have some problems, but it still always comes back to whether this person is going to be tempted or not to get back into the sin. And that's really what it is, you know. It doesn't matter what it is, whether it be a bit of fear that come on you. I guess what it is you're just recognizing this voice that comes in to you and is coercing you to do that thing. It's something that comes inside of you, it goes into your head, and it tempts you and makes you think that it's your thought, you know. And when a Christian prays for something and wants to overcome that thing, I guess they recognize that voice of that bad spirit, and they won't go that way. So that's when I guess you find out that you get the victory over this, and you have the fruit of Christ in your soul for this, that you won't go that way anymore. So and not saying that once you do overcome some things, it might come back later on in time, but that depends on the on how you're being trained or who's mentoring you. And that only one mind, that only one person, you know, can do it for you. And that's Christ. And it's like you would ask a person, well, you know, you want your name written in the book of life, but what is this book of life? You know, you look it up there in the great white throne, he's going to have the book of life there and the other books written. But what exactly is this book of life? Is it a textbook that has blank pages in it and your name's written in there? What is a book of life? You know, what's it entail? What is this book of life that you want to be written in to get into heaven? And you should know what this Book of Life is. Hopefully you've been reading it every day, you know, and that's your Book of Life. You know, Jesus is the name called the Word of God, and we have to abide in Him. So this Book of Life is, I hope you don't just think it's a book with a bunch of names written in it. You know, maybe there's a lot of space between the lines that are written in the Bible, and your name's written in there. But, you really have to know how to sometimes talk to people and how to instruct them that they have to learn how to recognize that that tempter and say, no, I don't want you. I don't want you anymore. I had enough of you. You ruined my life so much, you know, and you're making me do things that hurt other people that I love. And you just have the power over it now because it's Christ in you. And He's given you that item that used to bother you all your life. And you're delivered from it. Yeah. So I don't know if that helps anyone, but it's the same with whatever the sin is or the temptation is. So praise God. Which sometimes, you know, you need the last two verses. You need that guy to be around you. That's the last two verses in James chapter 5, you know, 5:19 and 20. You need that guy because he's talking about a Christian here. My brethren, if any among you err from the truth and one convert him, know that who converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death and shall cover a multitude of sins. So that's not any of us. That's the Lord through us. So praise and glory to God. You want to meet up with that person because they are experienced and they are brothers and sisters. And we've made good testimony about you, Bia, on how much you've increased. You met that person. And it wasn't Michael Hare and it wasn't David Eales. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And God, you know who He brings along with Him? The Almighty God. And we can call Him Father because Jesus said so in the Lord's Prayer.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Go ahead, Geneva.
I just wanted to say, because it kind of brought some kind of sort of similar, but kind of, you know, think too, Michael, what you say all the time about, you know, if we were constantly praying in the Spirit, you know, and believing in the Spirit, you know, we'll be led by the Spirit. And just because one situation calls for one thing one time doesn't mean that the next one's going to call for the exact same thing. You know, it's always what the Lord tells you to do, that's what you do. And I think too that just like you said, just, you know, pray about it. It's the best thing you can do. And be led by His Spirit, you know, and use wisdom in all things. I do want to say, not that this is really kind of, like I said, it's similar, it's not, but I mean, my mom isn't a drug addict, thank God. Our dad was, but that's another story. And anyways, we prayed and believed for our father a lot growing up. But my mom, thank goodness, wasn't. But I can say here lately, since she's been here in Florida, she has asked me for a lot of money because I'm not going to claim this now, but in the past, she hasn't been very good at saving money. She used to run our stepdad dry for money all the time. He'd give her money for gas and she'd go to Burger King and buy a shake. And then she'd go to the pet store and buy pet costume. It's just the goofiest things, you know, and it is those spirits and stuff that she wouldn't think straight. And she'd come back and be like, I need more money. And then it's just like she's got this thing too. It's like you like feel bad for her, but it's like you're so frustrated at the same time. And I know I told Mom, I said, you know, Mom, I don't mind helping you out with gas and stuff. I was like, you know, before you get your paychecks and things, I was like, but, you know, I was like, we're going to take that money and we're going to put it into your gas tank and you're not going to run around and blow my money. I was like, because I got a child coming on the way and, you know, me and Morgan are trying to pay for stuff right now. And anyways, so like not even like the second or third week, she's already, you know, need money here. She blew her paycheck on goofy stuff that she shouldn't have done. She had no money coming down here. So me and Morgan have been paying. We bought her groceries and, you know, obviously Isaac got her a house and spent so much money getting her everything that she needed in that house to get going. So, I mean, if you ask me and you've asked anybody else, she pretty much won the lottery here. Anyways, I know Ward will bless us, but, you know, just trying to obey and do what he asked us to do. But I was getting really frustrated because she was needing money and she kept asking, well, I'm out of gas and this and that. And she'd be ungrateful. And then I need money for food. I'm like, I just got you food. And it's like just constant stuff. And so we gave her $60 one day. She got a phone card like she was supposed to. Sorry, this is long. And then she went and got a little bit of gas. But I don't know what she did with like the other like 20 of it. So now here she is running out of gas again. And she's not taking all of it like she's supposed to be. And so I was getting frustrated. And I was like, Lord, like I don't want to sin. And I feel like I'm being brought to that point because I'm getting really mad. And I'm saying things that I shouldn't because she don't care. And then I felt like, it was weird. I felt like I went into kind of this thing where I started feeling like bad for her and I started feeling bad and I started thinking about, you know, like here she is, you know, all, you know, she's having to start over again. And I thought about it. And then all of a sudden I rebuked that. And I was like, I felt like the spirit talked to me, like, I don't need to be feeling bad for my mother because she's been given so much and I have given to her. And I'm going to pray and believe for her, but next time, you know, if whatever she needs gas, I'm going to take her to the gas station. I'm going to put the gas in her tank. And, you know, I feel that I need to be careful about those because, you know, spirits that can talk to you and make you feel like condemnation and make you feel things like, you know, you did this wrong and stuff. But, you know, Jesus was firm in the Bible. He was firm. He spoke with authority. And, you know, my mom, she's over 60 now. She's got to grow up. She's got to learn. You know, she's got to learn how to manage her money. And I can't keep being that, you know, here, like my stepdad was, because that's going to break me. And then that's going to mess up my marriage, you know, because that's taking money from my husband, too, that we work hard for. So I just feel like the Lord's been showing me a lot of things. And I feel like every day is a new learning because she calls me every day and it's always something, but that's okay. Just trusting and knowing that God's gonna lead me by a spirit every single day. And even though they are family, you know, just like you said, Michael, still gotta give them to the Lord and not by our works, but only by the Father. So
I can be in.
That made sense.
Thank you, Janine. Go ahead, Janine.
God bless you, Geneva. Keep you in prayer. I'll keep your mom in prayer too. She's getting delivered. She is getting delivered. You just keep confessing that she is that that's really not your mom.
Amen. And she's making little steps. I've